listener-supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, October 4th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining the conversation. Coming up, live music in studio from Juno's Muskeg Collective, who are having a songwriter showcase tomorrow night at the Gold Town. We chat with the Alaska State Museum and two weavers who are hosting a drop-in Chilkat tassel-making workshop today as part of First Friday. The Juno Audubon Society previews next week's presentation, Keeping Up with the Crustaceans, Sea Otter Impacts on Dungeness Crab. And we get a sneak peek of next week's Mudrooms with the theme Bones. Those conversations, music, and more on this Friday episode of Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
I got a letter in an old mailbox. I forgot I had it at a little truck stop. I read it once, read it again. I could hardly keep from crying. I've been driving around the last week or so with an empty truck. I don't have a load, and I don't care to tell you the truth. I think I might be dying. And it's trucker speed, Benzedrine, Percocet, amphetamine, Black Beauty, and West Coast turnaround. When the coast is clear and dry with my knees, mix it all up like a recipe with Coca-Cola and coffee to wash it down. Sometimes I feel like my wheels ain't touching the ground.
By the side of the road he said, "You're a mess." When I told him she didn't leave an address, he got another call and said, "Wait right here, I'll be back in a little while." Then I put my head down across my arms, slept on the wheel for an hour or more. Then I started it up and took off into the night.
And it's trucker speed, Benzedrine, Percocet, amphetamine, Black Beauty, and West Coast turnaround. When the coast is clear and dry with my knees, mix it all up like a recipe with Coca-Cola and coffee to wash it down. Sometimes I feel like my wheels ain't touching the ground.
I've been high center, low throttle, when I couldn't stop eating a bottle. And I've been so lonesome I made Hank Williams look like a party of five. I've been beat up, broke down, loaded on a truck and driven into town. But I always thought she'd be there at the end of the line. Yeah, I always thought she'd be there at the end of the line.
And it's trucker speed, Benzedrine, Percocet, amphetamine, Black Beauty, and West Coast turnaround. When the coast is clear and dry with my knees, mix it all up like a recipe with Coca-Cola and coffee to wash it down. Sometimes I feel like my wheels ain't touching the ground. Sometimes I feel like my wheels ain't touching the ground.
Oh, that's so smooth. That is the Muskeg Collective live right here on the red carpet stage in Studio 2K at KTOO. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm Boston Christopher. The Muskeg Collective has quickly become one of the hottest tickets in town for any concert that they put together. It's a combination of a like-minded group of singer-songwriters pushing each other to be their best and also to work together to create a music mosaic in Juno. Just back from a rousing tour of Ireland, they are hosting a songwriter showcase tomorrow night, October 5th, at the Gold Town, with one of those shows already sold out. So get your tickets before they are gone at jahc.org. And now, Gunathcheesh Ha'iyadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio. I am joined by Taylor Dallas Vidic, Andrew Heist, and Josh Fortenberry, three-fifths of the Muskeg Collective. I don't know if we've actually ever had the entire Muskeg Collective in the studio, but we've always had little pieces here and there. And that elusive Erin Heist, I don't think, has ever been in. But we're going
to
get her.
Yeah, yeah. She's tough to track down.
So welcome back. Welcome back from Ireland.
Thank you.
It was such a pleasure. We had you on the show. We had a little Zoom call from Ireland.
You
guys
so were fun.
Staying up late, and Annie was showing us her carrot collection.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, she did.
So that was kind of fun. And I saw that tomorrow night, if you get a VIP ticket, I think it's the 5 p.m. show that you still have tickets for, right?
Correct.
The 8 p.m. show is sold out, so just to let people know that. But you get for a VIP ticket, you get a souvenir from Ireland. And I was thinking, is Annie giving away the carrots that she got, or is it something else?
I won't say that that wasn't discussed. But they were not going to travel that well.
Annie found out that you have to declare farm goods at customs, so she ate 30 carrots right before we left.
Is that a true story? Like, could totally. I'm looking at Josh like, I wasn't there. Did that
you're
happen?
Like, you're like, really? That
would
I'd
be believe
cool.
it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's Annie, right? So that's all good.
Anything's possible.
Annie Bartholomew and Erin Heist, the other two members of the Muskeg Collective. Well, first of all, what was that song y'all just sang?
That was a song actually by a Canadian country singer named Fred Eaglesmith, and he's a fantastic, somewhat under-recognized artist that I like to highlight, and we wanted to save our original material for the showcase.
Yes. I know, because we're going to be teasing that a little bit. That's cool. That's a smooth song right there. That's what a way to enter a Friday. It was really nice. So thank you for sharing that with us. So remind us, for those who may not have heard of you all before, what is the Muskeg Collective, and how did you all get together?
Yeah, we are five individual singer-songwriters in our own right, and we just realize that doing it with your friends is a lot more fun. So at our shows, we take turns playing our songs, and we take turns backing each other up, which is cool because in one show, you get to hear five individuals. You get to hear Erin and Andrew in their duo format as the Heists as well, with all kinds of configurations. So tomorrow night in our two-hour show, we're parsing through five different sets as well as some group songs. So it's a bit of a musical variety show. We all exist under a similar umbrella of musical styles, but there's a fair amount of variety amongst the five of us.
And as you mentioned, you all have your individual projects, and then Andrew and Erin, and Andrew also known as the executive director of the board of the Alaska Folk Festival, which is a wonderful thing that's been going on for almost as many years as KTOO, actually.
50
years. Pretty amazing. Josh, I know you're also in a couple other groups, right? You're in the Getting Strangers as well, so people may have seen you doing that.
Right. It's actually Andrew and I share all of my musical groups at this point.
Oh, yeah. You're also in the Getting Strangers.
Right. Stranger
so
as well.
Me and Andrew play in a bluegrass band together called Taking Care of Bluegrass. We play in a country band called the Getting Strangers, and then we perform as part of the Muskeg Collective, and then we have our own solo projects,
too. Leave some bookings for some of the other musicians. This is great, though, because they all kind of do a little something different, right? They're all kind of focused in a little different way. And then this sort of the Muskeg Collective kind of comes together and brings all of those things together in some way, right?
Yeah, and the Muskeg Collective really does focus on original music, whereas the bluegrass band is more traditional bluegrass, and the country band we're referencing a lot of sort of 70s outlaw country. So the original material comes together in the Muskeg Collective as a way. Aaron actually, I think, was the impetus for this project, in that she had gone through a lot of work to put out an album of original music, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned along that road. And she saw friends around her at various stages of that process and thought, why don't we just share information to make it easier for each other? And then it kind of grew from
there. Grew from that. Yeah, because I know Aaron has a couple albums. Annie has her album that came out. Josh, your album came out earlier this year. We did a whole Songwriters on Songwriters with you. People can go check that out at Juno Afternoon, at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. And then, Taylor, you're working on your album,
Boston.
Right? In addition to all of the other roles that you play in this music community.
Yeah. It turns out it's really hard to focus on your own art when you're so excited about everyone else's art. So
yeah, and
I'm figuring that out.
Getting hired to do all these other projects, which is kind of cool.
Which is awesome.
So let's talk about tomorrow night, because as Andrew sort of teased, there's some original material that we're going to be hearing tomorrow. It's called the Songwriters Showcase, featuring the Muskeg Collective. So tell us about tomorrow.
We're so excited. It's happening at Goldtown, which is a proper theater. And that's something that Muskeg, is well suited for, are those listening room environments. So if people want to come out and enjoy live music but don't want to be in a bar or a loud setting, but you actually want to sit and listen to the lyrics and the intricacies of the instruments that are being played, this is a really perfect show for those folks.
Also, we've played a number of shows in Juneau, and as you mentioned, Aaron has an album out, Annie has an album out, I do, Heist are working on one, Taylor is working on one, but she's played a lot of the material live. We've also all been writing in the meantime, and so it's a chance for us to share a bunch of new material tomorrow, songs we worked up together when we were in Ireland, songs that we were working on personally while we were traveling, and I know my plan is to play only songs from the album I'm recording next, so just stuff that people haven't heard before mostly.
That's cool. I like that, because I know you've been working on, you've definitely been working on some new material, I remember that, and Taylor, are you teasing anything from your upcoming album, or you got newer stuff?
Yeah, yes and. Then pulling some out of the, from a few years ago, that I'm like, oh, I think I do want to revamp that to put it on the album. So this is a cool experience for me to get to play it again in front of people and feel it out and play it with other musicians, which I did not get to do the last time around. And
that's cool. And Andrew, you and Aaron are working on an album for the Heists.
We are. Yes, we are. The last album was under Aaron's name alone, and I was on it supporting her original material. And now we've started co-writing. So we will be featuring some songs that we've co-written, and I have also been inspired by being part of this group to take more seriously my own songwriting, and so I have a couple of my own originals that I'll be playing probably for the first time.
Lucky us.
For anybody in Juneau.
Wow. Yeah. It's kind of fun when you get to be part of a group and they're all around you writing, so it just sort of wears off on you, right? You're I can do that. Maybe I should do that.
Amazingly inspirational, and such a huge benefit of getting to play with this group of lovely people. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
Awesome. So, again, tomorrow night is the Songwriters Showcase. It's at the Gold Town. It's going to be at 5 o'clock because that's the only one that's available. 8 p.m. is already sold out. And then let's tease next weekend, too, because are you all going to be part of – I know we have a big festival coming up for KTOO next week that Taylor has helped put together. And I'm assuming that maybe you've got some of your folks to be involved in that as well?
Yeah. I said to the board, we could hire the Muskeg Collective to play, which is a little uncomfy because I'm Taylor.
I'm Taylor.
You want to book my band? But we are going to be playing as a part of 50 Fest. We are one of 10 groups that are performing between the Jack and the KTO broadcast studio. We're going to have two stages set up at the Jack. Betsy Sims is doing sound, of course. And I'm excited to be pairing our showcase so close to the KTO 50 Fest, because we get to do our sit-down and listen songs this weekend, and then next weekend we get to pull all the party songs back out of the hopper, because our set will be in the second show of the night, which is we're going to fully change the room around, get rid of a bunch of chairs, and encourage folks to dance over at 50 Fest at the Jack next Saturday.
That's awesome. And you'll be hearing about that more next week here on Juno Afternoon in terms of what's happening for that thing that's going on. But you can find out more and get tickets for that at kto.org/50-fest. So where do people follow the Muskeg Collective to keep up for the next things that are coming on? What's the best way to follow y'all?
The best way in this modern era is probably on Instagram. We do try to keep our website, muskegcollective.com, up to date with upcoming dates for our own personal shows and group shows. But yeah, the best way to follow us usually is on Instagram at Muskeg Collective. We post all our shows on there, and we'll keep people up to date with what's going on with the group.
Is there any baby boomers listening? We also do have a Facebook. And most of it gets co-posted, so...
I love that. I love that. Well, let's go out with one more song. I'll give the details again for tomorrow night. What are we going to hear next? What's this next song going to be?
I think Taylor is going to sing a traditional gospel song for us.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Okay. So this is the Muskeg Collective. It's the Singer-Songwriter Showcase tomorrow night. You can get tickets at jahc.org. There's only tickets left for the 5 p.m. show. There is also an 8 p.m. show. And, of course, follow them at the muskegcollective.com or on Instagram at Muskeg Collective. Once again, Muskeg Collective, live from the red carpet stage.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granny, Jesus is my plea.
On the mandolin.
Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with thee my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Walk with thee. Granny, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Josh Fortenberry.
When this feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me safely to thy shore, to thy kingdom come, to thy shore. Just a closer walk.
That's the Muskeg Collective right here on Juno Afternoon. We'll be right back after this break.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear, including Gruden's deck boots and flip-flops, and extra tough boots for both men and women. Located at the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's Ka-Chung with The Gathering. And this afternoon at 4:30, there will be a gathering, in a way. It is going to be at the Alaska State Museum. They're hosting a drop-in tassel-making workshop with two weavers. You can make a Chilkat tassel while supplies last. It's all a continuation of the show Protection, Adaptation, and Resistance, which will continue to be on display until Indigenous Peoples Day, through Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday, October 14th. And I'm grateful that they are able to take a moment, because they have to go soon and go get ready, to share a little bit about tonight's event. Gunath Cheesh, Ha'e'adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio. Wasi'iti, how's it going?
It's great.
Good.
Oh, well, yes. Thank you, Boston.
Good, of course. So yeah, I'm really happy that you're all here. So I thought it might be nice to have you each take a moment and introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what your role is in tonight. Let's start over here.
Absolutely. I'm Adriana Butello Alvarez. I work at the Alaska State Museum as the curator of collection access. So among my roles, I get to help out with some of the public programming coordination here, and I feel really thankful to be joined by Ray and Melina, and we're really looking forward to the Chilkat Tassel workshop this evening.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah. I'm Ray Mills. I have been weaving Raven's Tail and Chilkat and teaching now for about a year. I left my job to do this, and it's been one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done.
Oh, wow.
And now I get to hang out with some of the fine folks in Juno for First Friday with my friend Melina.
That's great.
Hi, I'm Melina Meyer. I was born and raised in Cordova, Alaska. I'm Kwashiquan from Yakutat originally. I live down here in Juneau now. Basically came here to weave. Learned how to Chilkat weave during the pandemic online with Lily Hope and Ray. So I met Ray and became friends online through Zoom with all the other weavers, and had the chance to apprentice with her on a large size rope. So ever since then, she includes us in these art museum exhibits and this opportunity to do the tassel workshop. So
that's awesome. Well, Gunath Cheesh, again, for being here. It's so great. And I know, Ray, last time we talked with you, you were in here with Lily, and we were talking about Chilkat robes and all the things that were going on with that the presentation that happened last year, I think it was, or was it in the spring? Was
April.
It this spring?
Yeah.
April.
Yeah.
Boy, time just goes by
really
so
does.
Fast. I was like, but the previous year was the Raven's Tail, and then this year was the Chilkat. That's what it was, I think. But you had been working with her, and so now I'm just curious about this transition that you've made into full-time teaching weaving. Is that right?
Yeah. I actually just signed a contract. There's a couple new workshops happening with some of the tribal corporations here in Juneau. So if you're interested in learning how to weave and prep material and all of that fun stuff, there's lots of opportunities right now.
That is so awesome. Now, I know tonight's event is part of the Protection, Adaptation, and Resistance show, which has been ongoing since May. So if you haven't caught it yet, it is fantastic. You got to get over to the museum before October 14th. It's running through Indigenous Peoples Day, like I said. So this is sort of how did this idea for this workshop come up?
Yeah, well, you know, we've been trying to highlight some of the artists that are featured in the show. So there are, I think, over 45 indigenous artists that are represented in the artworks in Protection, Adaptation, and Resistance. And, of course, we're really fortunate to have a lot of weavers here in Juneau and in Southeast. So kind of chatted with Lily, and fortunately she helped connect me with Ray and Melina to get this workshop put together. And Lily's also been the one that's supplying those kits for us this evening.
Lily is a catalyst in terms of weaving, that is for sure. I really love that. Well, thank you, Adriana. That's awesome. And Melina, let's hear a little bit about your weaving journey. When did it start?
So I learned how to raven's tail weave in Cordova from another artist. She taught me how to raven's tail. And it kind of was something that I wanted to continue but didn't have access to learn from another Chilkat weaver, because that's really what I wanted to learn. And those classes were all usually in person. But I was in Cordova, and I was pretty established there. And then the pandemic happened, and she started teaching online. And so that was an opportunity. And then I just kind of got hooked and decided that that's what I wanted to do and do it in person. And she had a robe that she was finishing up for the Houston Museum, and she needed some apprentices to work full-time on it. So that was kind of my opportunity to come down here and work side-by-side with her and get that robe done. So we did about 6 days a week for 5 months to get that robe done and got it done. And she just continues with new and new opportunities. Right now we're at Zach Gordon Youth Center weaving some pride robes with the kids over there, and they get to keep the robes and use them. So there's
And that
really
project is going to be, there's going to be a presentation of that, I think, next spring, right? Isn't there going to be something about weaving our pride happening next year, I believe?
I don't remember an exact date, but yeah. I think I'm sure that's the plan.
Yeah, I think we'll probably cover that when it happens, but that's kind of cool. And Ray, will you give us a quick sort of highlight of the difference between raven's tail and Chilkat?
Yeah, so one of the main differences is the formline images that you see in Chilkat weaving. Another difference would be that Chilkat warp has yellow cedar spun into it, whereas raven's tail is just wool. And then raven's tail has more of like the black and white geometric designs.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the Chilkat, really, I just feel like that yellow is a big part of it, right?
The yellow and the blue.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening in like an hour over at the museum.
Yeah. Well, so in addition to Ray and Melina doing the Chilkat tassels, zipper pulls, Lou Logan will be in the gallery working on his Inupiat-style kayak, as well as we've got some dance groups that will be coming in and dancing in the atrium. So first we have the Klikin and Haida Elders Dance Group starting to dance at 5, and then followed by Yisku. So we're looking forward to sharing some dances and songs with them.
That is going to be awesome. That sounds like so fun, so much fun over at the museum for First Friday to celebrate this exhibit. This exhibit is so wonderful and powerful. I mean, there's the cedar hats that people have woven. There's all kinds of other artists that is on display. Like you mentioned, Lou has been in the museum building this kayak for months, and that's really awesome. And then the one piece that really the red pieces hanging in a circle, like that just struck me so much. That just hit me hard. That one. If you haven't been to this exhibit, you really need to get over there. And why not do it tonight? It's from 4:30 to 7 p.m., right?
Yes, it is, and free admission. So please come by, bring your friends, family. We'd love to see you.
And that would be great. And you can make a zipper pull, which is going to, and you get to take that with you, right?
Yeah.
You can get to take that with you. That's going to be so fun. And do we think that you said while supplies last, do you think you have enough for everybody to get a zipper pull? I guess it depends on how many people show up, right?
Yeah, it depends on,
really? We need more.
Exactly. Well, we're hoping we have enough for folks to do theirs and take them home, but if you're not able to make it tonight, can certainly stop by Lily's shop and get one for yourself too. Please join us as you can.
Yeah, That is so cool.
We have lots of kits, though, so we want to get through them.
Yeah.
Come by.
Come visit.
And do you help people figure it out? Is that kind of, you're going to help them kind of put it together?
Yes.
Oh, that is so cool. So if you have some time. And is this for all ages?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, great. That's fantastic. Melina, Ray, Adriana, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Gonna cheese for being here. And I got to let you go because you got to get back to it. So thanks for popping over and telling us a little bit about it. It's the zipper pull drop-in tassel making workshop with Melina and Ray. You can make a Chilkat tassel, and it's all part of the show Protection, Adaptation, and Resistance, which will be on display through Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday, October 14th. And as Adriana said, admission is free during this first Friday event. Is it also free on Indigenous Peoples Day?
Yeah, we'll have free admission from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah,
so please
okay,
come
great.
Through.
And most people have that day off, right? So it's a holiday, so why not get over to the museum between 10 and 1 and you can get in for free.
Yeah.
But get there tonight because that's just going to be so much fun.
Yeah, or come by both times.
And, really, right? Why not? Why limit?
Yeah, I'll also just quickly plug, Lou will be giving a little kayak talk on Indigenous Peoples Day from noon to 1 too. So.
Oh, noon to 1 on Indigenous Peoples Day. Yeah. Awesome. That sounds so good. Well, good to the cheese for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Up next, we'll talk with the Judo Audubon Society about their fall speaker series.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Fall is here, and that means Juno Audubon Society begins its monthly presentation on a variety of topics. Next week's starts with Carter Johnson and Keeping Up on Crustaceans, Sea Otter Impacts on Dungeness Crab. It will also be the organization's annual election of officers. It's happening on Thursday, October 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall. You can find out more at judoaudubon.org. And here now, joining me in studio, are Brenda Wright from Juno Audubon and Speaker Carter Johnson. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio. What's up? What's a yeti?
The sun came back out.
I know. Isn't that nice? The fog this morning, we were driving over, and I was like, whoa, I can't even see the channel. Like, it was so wild. And now it's a nice sunny day, which you never know what you're going to get in Juno weather, which is so awesome. So, Brenda, the Fall Speaker Series starting up, tell us a little bit about it. We're going to talk to Carter about his next week, but mm-hmm. what can we expect for the year? Are they every month, and what
yes.
days are they on, and all that kind of
yep.
stuff?
And it's really easy to figure out because it's every second Thursday of the month from October through April. And we're really looking forward to all of them that we have lined up. There'll probably be a movie in March again, which is always fun, especially if it's a children's movie. And the next one's coming up is Terns in Trivia. And we do a study on Arctic terns, been doing it for about 8 years. So our intern from last summer will be doing that one next week. Next month, sorry, November.
In November, okay.
Mm-hmm. Second Thursday.
That's awesome. And for those who don't know, you can become a member of Juno Audubon, right? And
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a membership thing online, but you can always sign up at meetings. It's only $10 a year for membership, so it's pretty
easy.
That's
got to be the best deal around.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, $10.
And the programs are free.
And the programs are free, and you don't even have to be a member to go to the programs.
Oh, no,
right?
It's open to the public.
Yeah, so they're all open to the public, which is fantastic. And, of course, you're going to be doing your annual election of officers next week, so if people are interested in that, they can attend that meeting. That'll happen first, and then Carter will talk?
Is That's
that what's
right.
going to happen?
Yep.
Okay, great. So, Carter, well, welcome. And first of all, I have to ask you this question, Brenda. So the title of this, Keeping Up on Crustaceans, Sea Otter Impacts on Dungeness Crab. What does it have to do with birds?
Well, what does it have to do with science? There's
a
whole
question.
World out there.
And I love that.
It's awfully nice to be able to expose our members to all the interesting things that are happening that we can find out just by having these great speakers.
Well, it's all part of the ecosystem, right?
Yes.
So it's all part of that. So Carter, welcome. You're a PhD student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, right?
Yeah.
And you're in your final – you're getting there. You're getting to the dissertation.
Yeah, I'd say I'm more than halfway.
Nice. That's good. More than halfway. I love that. Those dissertations can be rough, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of writing. You're spending a lot of time kind of studying a really – niche area, but I've been at it since 2021 is when I moved up here and started,
That's cool. So what first got you interested in sea otters and Dungeness crab?
Oh, that's a great question. I did my undergrad at the University of Washington in Seattle, and I ended up working in a lab that did sea otter research on the Washington coast. And they're a really interesting species. They eat a lot of the same things that we do. They're charismatic in some parts of the world. I've always been a fan of crabs. I think they're really neat. They're really interesting. And finding a way to merge the two I felt lucky to find a project for that.
Okay, that's kind of cool because I know that. You've been sort of looking at this is my question, is like the resurgence, there was this reintroduction of sea otters in the 60s or something, in the 1960s.
Yes, yep.
But what does that mean, reintroduction?
Yeah, great question. So looking back at the history of sea otters, brief history in Southeast Alaska, sea otters used to exist throughout the Pacific Rim, kind of from Japan to Southern California. And then the industrial and colonial fur trade wiped them out from a number of places. And Southeast Alaska was one of those places. So there were no otters for quite some time here. And then, in the 60s, around 400 otters were reintroduced to a couple locations on the outer coast. And so those 400 or so sea otters, that population's grown now to around 22,000 sea otters in Southeast Alaska. So the majority of the world's sea otters are in Alaska, and a big chunk of those are in Southeast.
Wow. Okay. And apparently they're not supposed to get along with the Dungeness crab, but what are you finding in this research that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, they get along with them in the sense they love to eat them, that's for sure. maybe not from the crab perspective, but so sea otters, for anyone that doesn't know, they're a diving marine mammal, but they have a really fast metabolism because they have no blubber like a whale or a seal does. So they have to eat all day long. They can eat up to a third of their body weight a day. And so they eat a variety of different shellfish, but Dungeness crab are one of them. And so we're kind of investigating how sea otters are impacting Dungeness crab specifically in Southeast Alaska.
But are you finding that it hasn't impacted the Dungeness crab population though, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of what prompted this research. So a number of different fisheries like sea urchin and sea cucumber, other dive fisheries, when sea otters move into an area, the fishery has closed. And that's been true in other parts of the world as well. But when you look at the Dungeness crab, specifically the commercial fishery in Southeast Alaska, it's been pretty productive despite this really large sea otter population. And so the basis of my research, what we're trying to get at, is what's going on ecologically that has allowed a lot of sea otters to coexist with a lot of Dungeness crab eventually figure out if that coexistence is going to exist.
I see. Okay. So what can we expect from your talk next week? A little bit more about what we're talking about now, but what else are you going to be talking about?
Yeah. So I'll be kind of giving an overview of my findings of my PhD research up to this point, some active research that I'm doing. I've got some really fun, they're called larval light traps. They're basically a trap that catches plankton. So I've been catching and counting baby Dungeness crab throughout Southeast Alaska. So have some cool partners throughout the region helping me with that. So I'll be, you'll get some pictures of baby crabs. Just kind of giving an overview of what I found so far and what I hope to do next.
That sounds really awesome. I look forward to that. That is on Thursday, October 10th, and it's going to be at 6:30 p.m., and it's out at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall. It's the Juno Audubon Society's free program. And Carter's talk is called Keeping Up on Crustaceans, Sea Otter Impacts on Dungeness Crab, which is kind of cool. So, Brenda, last question for you is there anything we should be looking for in terms of our bird watching right now in the fall?
You know, that's a really great question because many, many, many of our birds molt before they come to spend the winter with us. And so I've just been seeing a few robins that haven't quite left yet and a very few mallard and other things that are coming back already. The harlequin are starting to show up, but our winter population of birds hasn't arrived and the summer's mostly gone.
Right. So we're in sort of a middle period, right?
Yeah.
Kind of
so
in the middle period.
Be sure and go out there when the sun's shining because it's still beautiful.
Yeah, it is nice. So get out there and enjoy the day. Well, thank you so much. It's the Juno Audubon Society, junoaudubon.org. Is there anywhere we can follow your research or anywhere we should be looking for you that we can keep up on some of the stuff that you're doing?
Yeah. So I have a website through my UAF student profile. You can find it there. I have an Instagram account that I share underwater photos on, and I'll talk about my research on that account. That's Underwater Carter. And so I just had a photo show at Devil's Club last month. And so, yeah, I post about my research there.
Awesome. That sounds so good. Carter Johnson, Brenda Wright, thank you so much for coming in. The Juno Audubon Society, I really appreciate you being here. Gwyneth Cheesh.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ock Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher, a little dem bones, which perfectly fits the theme because Mudrooms is back this fall, the second Tuesday of every other month. You can catch 7 stories from 7 of your neighbors and friends for just $7. It all goes to a good cause, and this month's beneficiary is Juno Ghost Light Theater. It's all happening next Tuesday, October 8th, and of course, it would start at 7 o'clock. Get more information and details at mudrooms.org. I am joined now by Taylor Beard from Mudrooms and Kate Ross from Juno Ghost Light Theater to tell us more. Gwyneth Cheeshot, YAD, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio this fine Friday afternoon. Wasa YAD, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. We're very happy to be here.
And you have all your speakers for next week?
We do. We have the confirmed 7. 7 is the magic number. We really like it. And yeah, I've heard most of the stories, and I'm very excited about them.
That's so cool. So for Taylor, will you tell us, for those who may not know or may be new to Juno, what is Mudrooms?
So Mudrooms is a storytelling organization that gets people together to tell true personal stories, and all of the money that's raised goes to a designated nonprofit that we choose every year. Well, we've chosen 2 this year. So it happens every other month. Well, not every other month. It happens October, December, January, and no, not January. Well, okay, just
go to mudrooms.org.
Yeah, go to mudrooms.org.
Because you changed it. Because it used to be monthly, but now what's happening is you do some workshops in one of the months to help people prepare for being a speaker, and then another month you do the actual show,
right,
quote unquote show, and then the next month off there will be like more seminars and workshops and
right,
stuff, right? So it's continuing to happen every month in a way, but the public facing presentation, there is a schedule for that. I did say every other month in the intro, but I think it's a little bit different.
It's a little bit off. I think we've got February and March, and so we're possibly putting something together for January, but I don't have full details on that yet. But
right,
keep your ears open for that. So yeah, part of the reason why we had to go to every other month was we have a hard time finding storytellers. So if you would like us to go back to every month, you should sign up and tell a story.
That is cool. And you also have, what I love about the mudrooms.org website is that you have a archive of every single
yes,
story that's ever been told, or at least most of them,
mm-hmm,
because they are recorded. And they're actually aired on KTO as well, but it's best to go live. And tell us about where it happens and where does it happen at?
So it happens at Kunikati Northern Lights Church. It's going to happen on Tuesday at 7. And It's such a nice, cozy atmosphere. We have lots of great people that come and support us, and it's a really fun, wonderful event. And you get our theme this month is bones, and usually with every theme, it's not just about what you think it's obviously about, what it just obviously says. We have like a very diverse group of stories that come out every month, and so it's pretty enjoyable.
And it's cash at the door, right?
It is cash at the door. We ask for a donation of $7. Obviously, we're not going to be like, no, you can't come hear the story.
Right, right, right.
But if you want to give more, we are more than happy to take more. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And, of course, it's all a fundraiser for a group that you pick because the Mudrooms doesn't have a staff. It's all board and volunteer run.
It is all board and volunteer run, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the beneficiary this month is the Juno Ghostlight Theater, a great partner of KTO as well, full disclaimer. Thank you so much, Kate, for coming in and telling us about it. I'm glad you're partnering with someone to help you raise some money.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited that we were chosen to be a beneficiary for Mudrooms this year. I actually told a story last year, which as a performer, like some people might think that made it easier, but it was terrifying, but it was so rewarding and so worth it. And it was incredible and just made me think of Mudrooms in a different way, being more involved in the process. And so when I heard that they were looking for applications to be the beneficiaries for the upcoming season, I thought, hey, we have a theater that we're trying to kind of expand and grow and especially financially be able to have that support. And so I applied and I was so excited and honored that we were chosen to be a beneficiary. So we're a beneficiary for two of the shows this year, so October and then December. So, yeah, so we're going to be there. So running the door and selling you cookies and coffee. And
I love that. And you bring up an interesting point, too, because I told a story a few years back as well. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you think as a performer in the theater that maybe you would have an easier time of it. But it's really not because these are personal stories. And, you know, and I don't know if it's still the same as it used to be, but 20 years or so ago, the number one fear that people – put out there was public speaking over death.
Yeah.
Public speaking was number one. But it's an interesting thing because this is such a warm environment when mm-hmm. you go to a mudrooms. Mm-hmm. The community is really there supporting you. You don't allow notes on stage, so they have to sort of memorize it or get it familiar so they can tell a story. But they're actually really personal stories.
Yeah.
And so that makes it closer for people to be able to tell something, and I think it makes it less anxiety-ridden than, let's say, a theater performance.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, and I know you said, Taylor, that you're always looking for more people mm-hmm. To tell stories. And is that one of the reasons that the workshops are happening? What do the workshops help people do?
So the workshops are really great because in this current day and age of technology, a lot of people are losing I'm going to call it an art form of telling a story, and it's a great way to connect with other people. It's a great way to make business connections. It's a great way to make personal friends. And the workshops go through how you tell a good story, how to have the most impact, how to feel comfortable on stage, how to keep your story moving, how to engage your audience. And they're meant for everybody. They're not just meant for storytellers. So if you don't want to tell a story at Mudrooms, but you do want to go to the storytelling workshop, you're more than welcome. We are happy to have you. And so there's a sign up on the mudrooms.org website for both storytelling and the storytelling workshops.
So, I love that. So you don't necessarily have to be heading towards being right. in one of the Mudroom shows. You can actually just go and learn about storytelling.
Right.
Which
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So do we know who some of the speakers are going to be, storytellers that are going to be happening next week? Can we tease a few people?
We do. We have Megan Cochran and Judy. I'm forgetting everybody's names.
That's sorry. Okay.
I rushed down here after I couldn't find my kid. And
where's your kid at?
Oh, he's
know.
Fine. He's home now.
Okay,
but,
good.
My brain's like,
right,
he's
right.
Really,
I get
yeah.
you. I feel you.
So we have Sean Strauss. We've got Wayne Smallwood. I'm trying to think of who else we have. of course, like my little Excel sheet that has everybody. It's like, nope, we're not going
to
access that.
That's okay. Our brains aren't meant to remember information like that. That's what those spreadsheets are for, right?
Exactly.
So, Kate, now, did you sign up to be a storyteller, or were you more busy running the things behind the scenes here?
I'm going to be behind the scenes on this one.
Okay.
I did not sign up to tell a story. I did reach out to a number of people to try and encourage people to, but a lot of the performer friends I was reaching out to, again, were like, this seems scary. And on the flip side of that, that's why I think it's really amazing to just encourage everyone to sign up to tell a story. You can reach out with any questions to myself, to certainly to the Mudrooms Storytellers Board, if you have any questions at all, because you don't have to be a performer or a storyteller like Taylor mentioned. And so I think that's something that's really, really cool about Mudrooms, is that anybody can sign up with any type of story. You don't have to be comfortable. You can go to one of the workshops to help build that skill set, but they're not necessarily looking just for performers. So it's going to be really fun for us, for Juno Ghostlight Theater, as a theater and performing arts organization, to be on that back end running the thing and just getting to sit back and listen to some of our community members' stories.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think the community member, you were going to say something,
too? Oh, the other thing I'd like to mention, we also offer coaching. So if you're if you can't make this storytelling workshop, you do want to tell a story, but you're worried about it, we do offer coaching so that we can coach you through this process. So
yeah, it's actually, I prefer seeing people who aren't performers to tell the stories because that just makes it so much more personal.
Right.
And you find out how interesting and funny and you know, everybody has a story, right? Everybody has a story. And it's always themed, so you can look ahead to the themes at mudrooms.org to see what themes are coming up. Maybe you'd want to sign up for one of those. And like you said, this month's theme is bones. And I was talking to Kate last week about this, and I was like, that's so interesting because bones could be so many things, right? That can be like something in your body. It can be something in your closet. It could be, you know, it could be all kinds of different things that might be part of that particular theme. And you can tell any story that is on that theme. And usually they're like one word or maybe two words.
Yeah.
And they kind of just let your mind go in terms of thinking.
It's a jumping off point. It's an inspiration. And so the theme for December, because now, of course, October 8th, Tuesday, we're ready for the first one of the season, for the first storytelling event of the season. But in December, the next one, start thinking about it now.
Yeah, what's the theme for
everyone? The theme for December is Braver Than You Think.
Ooh.
Stronger than you are.
Yeah.
Or stronger than you know. Yes.
Yeah. I love
that.
So
that's a little bit of a longer title, but like, you know, that can bring up so many different things.
Braver than you think.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people think that you have to have a story that's really closely tied to the theme, and you don't. Both times that I've told stories at Mudrooms, I was asked to tell a story, and I definitely was like, okay, let's figure out how to tie this into the theme. And because all we do... People just want to hear a story, and people think that they have to have some epic story, and you don't, because any detail of life can be a story. It just depends on how you tell it. So it's, I really encourage anyone to come and do it, because the audience is not there to, they're not there to make you feel called out for your story. They're there supporting you. They want you to succeed. And I guarantee if any heckler shows up, I'm going to dive off the stage and land on them. So
Taylor's got your back.
So don't worry about that, because it is a very rewarding thing to tell a story.
Taylor Beard, Kate Ross, thank you so much. It's Mudroom happening next Tuesday, October 8th at 7 o'clock. It's 7 stories from 7 of your neighbors and friends for just $7. You can find out more at mudrooms.com. Gwyneth Cheesh for being here today.
Thank you.
And that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Next Wednesday, catch a new episode of Songwriters on Songwriters featuring Marion Call and Alex Cutlars. And be sure to get your tickets to KTOO's 50th anniversary celebration concert happening next Saturday, October 12th, ktoo.org for more information on that. Find our show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp.